KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is experiencing its worst air quality in more than a decade. So far, the state has issued 15 air quality advisories this year as of August 18th. That is more than any other year since 2010. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The poor air quality is in part from wildfire smoke traveling down from Canada. Also this year, the state is experiencing the third most ozone alerts in the past 16 years. An embattled news website is accessible again at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Terry Bell reports.
The Wausau Pilot and Review was blocked on legislative office computers for a time yesterday. The Legislative Technology Services Bureau issued a memo that says the Pilot and Review website was mistakenly flagged as a cybersecurity threat and that the error has been fixed. Pilot and Review editor Shireen Seward tells Civic Media News she hopes it was not a deliberate attack on the press. The Pilot and Review and State Senator Corey Tomchik have been embroiled in a long-time legal battle. The Republican lawmaker is suing the news site for defamation. The Pilot and Review has racked up six figures in legal bills defending itself. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Republicans are looking ahead to the rest of the presidential campaign after Wednesday night's debate in Milwaukee. Strategist Scott Jensen says he's worried if Donald Trump is the nominee.
I'm not sure getting arrested for the fourth time is a good look, but apparently he's so comfortable with it. I'm not. I think that's a problem for us in the long run.
Jensen spoke on a WISC Politics panel in Milwaukee yesterday. Talks on the 2023 Farm Bill are underway. As Susan Potter reports, anti-hunger groups want Congress to protect the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
SNAP provides an average benefit of $6 per person per day. Luis Guardia with the Food Research and Action Center wants SNAP benefits to be higher and more accessible.
We can achieve this in the program by linking benefits to a more realistic food plan, ending time limits for the unemployed, repealing the ban on individuals with a drug felony, dropping extra work requirements for full-time college students, and ending the prohibition on hot prepared foods.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
There are efforts underway to help wood turtles in Wisconsin. The wood turtle is considered a threatened species. Biologists with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources just completed a multi-year study with federal support. The findings of the study will be used to determine if the wood turtle should be moved to the endangered species list. Wood turtles are found in the north woods of Wisconsin, along with parts of Minnesota, Michigan, and Canada. Scientists have been working to protect their nesting grounds as the population has been in decline. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. A man police say stabbed his sister's boyfriend will stand trial. 20-year-old Yahir De La Pena Rodriguez has been charged with one count of first-degree intentional homicide. The incident happened in the early morning hours of July 16th after the two men left a bar. Authorities say an argument escalated before Rodriguez attacked the 24-year-old man with a knife. He tried to escape police on foot and was tracked down with the help of a canine unit. Rodriguez will be arraigned September 19th. Making of a murderer subject Stephen Avery has been denied a new trial. The decision from the court came down on Tuesday. His attorney, Catherine Zellner, says she will take the decision to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. Earlier this year, Zellner indicated she had evidence to support a claim there was a new suspect in the 2005 murder of Teresa Hallback. Avery claims he was framed for the killing by one of the state's key witnesses.
Hey, Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Josh Hader's back in Milwaukee. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Brewers closer Josh Hader is back at American Family Field as the crew hosts the Padres. Hader with a 97-mile-an-hour sinker to earn a save over the Marlins on Wednesday. The Brewers now with a five-game winning streak thanks to some clutch hits by their youngest players, Craig Counsell.
Well, I think, you know, it just highlights it. And I think when, you know, it puts you in battle mode and you get rewarded for it, it's you need the positive feedback from the reward. And a bunch of guys are getting it.
What is it right now with this team getting clutch hits with two strikes?
Yeah, it's like anything. You just got to stay in the fight, and we've been rewarded for staying in the fight. It hasn't always been super hard contact, but staying in the fight and got you some positive results.
Brandon Woodruff against Yu Darvish for San Diego. First pitch tonight is at 7:10. NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo says he wants some reassurance the Bucks don't plan a rebuild in the near future before he signs a contract extension with the team next month. In a lengthy interview in this morning's New York Times, Giannis says he still loves Milwaukee but doesn't want to spend 20 years with a team that never wins another championship. NFL, the Seattle Seahawks arriving in Green Bay today to face the Packers tomorrow at noon at Lambeau Field. Seattle head coach Pete Carroll on what the team has been like a year after trading quarterback Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
Attitude has been really on it. I mean, I've said to you guys 100 times now about this group, their mentality, their approach to the game, how they're looking at it, what they bring every day. The attitude and the mentality is so powerful because right now, you know, attitude's everything.
Matt LaFleur says after losing most of the fourth quarter last week against the Patriots when the game was suspended, he'll have to be extra careful to ensure third-string players see some action in tomorrow's final preseason game.
I think that's why it's so important that in terms of the communication with myself and Goody, making sure everybody's on the same page and put guys in a position where we get questions answered.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Can't believe it's Friday. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing Earl. You said it best. We made it to Friday.
Yeah, man. It doesn't, you know. I mean, I don't know. Things are really strange. And then there's this guy sitting across
from me. The strange part about Friday is that guy.
Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, my friend?
I'm all right.
Pretty good. My co-host, Sandy Williams, is with us as always on Friday. Man, it's good to see you. There's a plethora of things to talk about.
Yeah. I've got kind of a hangover this morning. I didn't watch the debate Wednesday night. I was busy, so I watched it last night. So that's what's created sort of this dizziness in my head.
Entertaining?
You know, it was kind of hard to watch. The sad thing I think about American political scene generally is out of 335 million people, these are the people that, and I don't mean just the Republican leaders. I mean the political leaders across the board. Those are the ones we've got. And it looks like it's a low bar. It looks like the people who actually want to be in politics, the self-selecting group that are willing to put up with the whole process and carry it through, it's a motley crew.
So 12 million people, they say, watched it, and so I tried to find the number of people who watched the Republican convention debate in 2016, the first one, to try to compare things. And then I looked at the just who these people were who were on the stage. And, you know, when you get all the way down to the guy from Wyoming, I guess he's from Wyoming.
No, Bergram?
Yeah.
No, he's from one of the Dakotas.
I'm
reluctant to. I don't want to make a mistake and say South or North. I can't remember which, but it's a Dakota.
Wyoming, Dakotas.
Hey, come on.
I would say, though, the guy, you know, nice man.
Yeah.
So why would a guy like that want to run for?
I had trouble figuring out what motivated him. He seems like a, you know, fairly
nice guy.
In fact, he was one of the sharper lights on the stage, I thought. But my goodness, and the post hoc review of it is just talked about his eyebrows. So I mean, the news media doesn't do a great job either of trying to filter things because they spent a lot of time talking about Bergram's eyebrows.
Well, Asa Hutchins, another guy.
Yeah.
He was there and.
I think he's always tried. I think he's sought the limelight more. I mean, I at least knew who he was.
Yeah, I knew
a year or two ago, you know. So
yeah,
Bergeron, I couldn't have told you who that was.
So Sandy, you saw it. Let's go down the line. Mike Pence.
Well, Mike Pence, good radio voice. Sandy,
when you start with good radio voice.
Well, I mean, but that's, I think, always his forte, I think, has always been the way he presents himself. You know, this kind of...
Under control.
Handsome fellow, under control, strong, you know, good voice, you know, kind of mellifluous, you know, so...
Sandy.
But troublesome Sandy, in my mind.
Before people had coffee,
mellifluous.
Mellifluous.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, hold on. Calvin, do you know what that word means?
I would have to use some context clues. I don't know.
Oh. All right, son.
Mellifluous is like being a very smooth speaking. It combines both what you say and how you say it.
Oh, okay.
And if it's all really smooth, that's kind of mellifluous.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you got a word.
Wow, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, when you got a word, Meister, you know, I mean, you're going to scare the people off before we get started.
Yeah, I know. That was...
But anyway, go ahead.
So, but, you know, what he says is a little more troublesome than how he says it. But, you know, unfortunately, I think style plays a big part in what happens in politics. So from a style standpoint, I thought he did okay. But, you know, he had to participate in the whole feistiness. The whole thing got to be a food fight. And, you know, the notion that we have debates, that these are debates, is goofy. These are not debates.
No.
And the format of it has gotten so far from the original debates, the original Nixon-Kennedy debates, were real debates.
Oh, yeah.
And real stuff got said. People had time. They were disciplined. They honored the rules. It was a debate process. Nixon had been a debater in college, so I suspect he was used to it, but... You know, since then, every 4 year cycle of debates, they devolve, and they have now devolved into something that is much more like a family food fight than it is.
You know, Sandy, you brought up Nixon and Kennedy, and what I remember, even though I was a young boy at that time, was the seriousness of the moment.
Yeah,
nuclear war being on the horizon and the civil rights issues and all those things, and there was no time for this, what they're doing now. Right?
Well, and the civility at, you know, the those were times of civility, you know, in terms of how people behaved, and the debates reflected it. There were rules, people followed them. We have gotten to the point now where people choose the rules and laws they decide to follow. It's apparent because the debates are subject to rules, and everyone has opted to not follow them. You know, they just do whatever is convenient for them, whatever is going to be the most, from their standpoint, possibly they think the most effective. So rules be damned. It's just free-for-all.
And the media was different. You had Walter Cronkite and those guys, serious journalists.
Well, I would say these journalists were trying to be serious.
I know.
I mean, I wouldn't, I think what's happened is
Britt Baer,
Chris Wallace, everybody who has tried to do a debate over the last three cycles has thrown up their hands with the inability to control it. But it's gotten worse and worse. You know, it's gotten worse.
Right.
And the people in the debate on Wednesday night were saying, hey, can't get control of this thing. The people who didn't want to get into a food fight said, can't you get control of this? But how can you?
Well, I think as the moderator, you have to say, hey, when the bell rings, hey, Mike.
Well, they
okay, you've got to stop.
Well, they do have microphone control.
Yeah,
and just like we can shut down a caller,
right?
They can shut down a microphone,
but they don't do it.
But they don't do it, so they don't exercise the powers they have. They could put the debaters a little further apart, and so their microphones wouldn't pick up the other person's speech. There are ways they could design this so that they could get a better handle on people following the rules, but there's been too much backlash from that. And I think the participants are the ones who basically insist that the rules not be enforced.
So just, you know, I don't like doing it, but, you know, just kind of give us an idea. Mike Pence one to ten?
Well, you know, I have to combine how they behaved and what they said. So
Mike Pence didn't exactly behave.
Well, okay, if I just grade him on how I think he did with the constituents out there, probably between 5 and 6.
Nikki Haley.
Well, see, she from my standpoint, I found very appealing her straightforwardness. I'm not sure that her constituents will. I thought she, of all of the people, had the best gravitas of all of the people. I'd give her I think she did better than Pence with respect to gaining in this thing. I'd give her between a 6 and a 7.
Well, you're kind of in line so far with the New York Times in both of those cases. Uh-huh. Chris Christie.
He didn't do as well as I thought he would do.
I thought he was going to do well.
Yeah, and I thought he had a little bit more of a deer in the headlights. I think he vacillated between following the rules or thinking he would, which put him at a disadvantage. I'd put him between 4 and 5.
That's what they gave him for. So I was disappointed in Chris Christie. I thought that he would shine. You know, he's been there before.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of guy that I thought was unflappable, but I think the booing really got to him. I think he was really shocked.
Well, I think
extended booing.
Yeah, I think that the audience, which was obviously a Trump audience, for the people who were long shots, I think their long shottedness became apparent to themselves. I had the feeling that Chris Christie, as he was there, realized that he was running into a headwind that he couldn't beat.
Well, yeah. I mean, clearly, I've never seen him the way he was when he tried to get words out and they extended booing.
Yeah. And I thought the thing he said about, you know, you can boo and that's great, that's the American way, but it doesn't change the truth.
Well, after the booing had already intensified.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't know when to come in. And then after Britt Baer finally told the people, you know, settle down, then Christie was able to come back.
Well,
he never recovered. He never recovered.
You know,
that.
The Wisconsin Republican Party very much controlled the audience. Getting credentials to get into that audience was very difficult. And so it was skewed in the direction of whatever the establishment was that was designing who would attend.
Well, it's clear to say that many of those people were Trump supporters. Just based on, you know, when Trump wasn't mentioned much at all, but when he was, you could see that. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday, and it's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Go ahead.
Welcome to one of the premier jazz festivals around. We are in Oshkosh.
Get to see Oshkosh, you know, my hometown, embracing and enjoying and celebrating this festival. I mean, I really do mean that.
Erin Bame is the main organizer of the Oshkosh Jazz Fest. She says it's fairly new, but starting to make a name for itself and this Wisconsin city. So what is Oshkosh best known for, at least right now? Is it UW Oshkosh?
EAA Air Venture, or Oshkosh Bagosh? The answer coming up.
Our festival is completely free and family friendly.
Two reasons the festival's grown from hundreds to thousands. And the entertainers are huge too. Names like Tormé and Take Six, the most awarded a cappella group in history. So did you guess what made Oshkosh famous? Is Oshkosh Bagosh. But don't forget the Oshkosh Jazz Festival for future fame. The fest is Saturday afternoon, August 26th, and is a new slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know every 10 years, based on the latest census population information, state officials redraw voting district boundaries? Sounds fair until redistricting becomes gerrymandering. It's described as manipulating the boundaries to favor one party or class. Those at the nonpartisan Brennan Center call gerrymandering as old as the United States, but also say regardless of the party responsible, it isn't fair to the voters. Still, Congress voted not to pass reform legislation last year. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with a high of 78. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again. Tonight's light chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 61. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. A blend of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny skies and calm Sunday with daytime highs approaching 73. 76. Chance for scattered storms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me.
You know, the notion that a song like this was top of the charts. Just think what this is like 60, 50, 55, 50 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, top of the charts, this kind of a solo. Very serious music instead of.
That was, you know, serious times. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday, and it means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We're just kind of going over, you know, some of the ratings of the participants of the debate on Wednesday. And so let's go to Ron DeSantis, Sandy. Your thoughts on Ron DeSantis?
Well, I thought.
Ron DeSanctimonious.
I thought DeSantis. He's gotten shortened to DeSantis. I thought he, at most, held his own in a food fight, and so he didn't do himself any good. People say, well, he didn't hurt himself. Well, I think he did. I think if you've got the limelight and you don't shine and you're running 25 or 30 points behind, my suspicion is that when the polls come out, he will have lost some. Unfortunately, I think the smarmy Ramaswamy will have gained some. I don't know whether Nikki Haley will be rewarded for what I thought was a good presentation, because she was so direct and said some probably difficult truths. She was speaking truth to power, so to speak, and I don't know how that's going to go down. But I wouldn't give him a very high grade.
So let's you make me you have to go back to some of the things Nikki Haley said that I had to stop and clean my ears out to see if she really said what she said.
Well, you know what she was talking. You know, when she talked about the deficit and how $8 trillion of deficit was the largest ever in one four-year term by Trump, and the earmarking and all that. You know, she was speaking truth to power, because what's happened to the Republic, she was speaking in defense of the old Republican Party that would hold itself out as being fiscally responsible. And she was basically saying, hey, the Republican Party under Donald Trump wasn't the Republican Party. It was something else altogether, and it's lost its moorings. And so, you know, to me, you know, I think it's fine for us to have a fiscally conservative party as, you know, as an opposition party, as the other party. I think that's a good thing. I think what's happened now is that we have just a party that doesn't stand for anything other than Donald Trump and whatever he stands for. And the stuff he stands for, in my book, is very troublesome. And some of the other candidates spoke to that troublesome stuff, the anti-immigration stuff, the false data stuff. But I thought Nikki Haley, when she spoke, when speaking the truth, it was startling.
You know, Sandy, she said, all of you are controlled by PACs. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed back and said, oh, no, 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 no. And when she said that, I kind of looked at the looks on their faces. But I think it's deeper than that, Sandy. When she said that publicly, she kind of wrote her epitaph.
Yeah, well, Ramaswamy told them they were all bought and paid for. So he was a little more frank about it.
Yeah, but he's a young guy and a gunslinger. But she is a part of that time, right? And the fact that she, and again, she was in Trump's cabinet. And to say that, Sandy, I think, took a lot of courage. She kind of broke with that, right? She can't go back now.
Well, to be honest with you, I thought it was very refreshing. The thing I find refreshing about Christie as well is politicians who speak the truth at the potential expense of not getting elected, right? Because I think that's what we need are people who are willing to be forthright and to speak what they actually believe is in the best interest of the country rather than saying what they think needs to be heard in order to get elected or in order to curry the favor of these PACs and these folks that are standing behind him. You know, Ramaswamy can say he's not bought and paid for, but he clearly is carrying the portfolio for the carbon industry and you know, spoke in very odd ways, ones that aren't based on any fact at all, about the notion of reviving our economy by reverting back to sort of carbon-based.
So let me ask you, Sandy. It is, why are governors, because Chris Christie was a governor, Nikki Haley, governor, is it something different about them than there are about, you know, senators and congresspeople who run for office?
Well, the fact is, I remember some while ago, they did an analysis, and there were far more governors who have been elected president than senators who've been elected president, even though the people who run for president are more frequently senators. And the reason, I think, is that governors govern, okay? They have all of the executive responsibilities of a president in a smaller setting. Senators have none of those obligations. They don't govern at all in terms of being an administrative governor. They simply legislate.
All right. Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Fridays. Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Join us. We'll be right back.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, yeah, let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. Or there will be an answer. Let it be, yeah, let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Michigan and Ohio have been hard hit by severe weather. Heavy rain and flooding last night killed at least three people in the Grand Rapids area. Now it's the East Coast turn.
Here it is along the I-95 corridor, back through even West Virginia. A lot of lightning with this, and a flood advisory out for northern New Jersey and Staten Island. 1 to 1.5 inches per hour, the rain rates here. So this is heavy stuff. It'll calm down for a bit, but then restart, I think, in the afternoon as this pretty strong cold front pushes through and at least cools people off.
That's ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. More than 660,000 homes and businesses in Michigan and Ohio are without power. Former President Donald Trump is back on Twitter, which now is known as X. He tweeted his own mugshot hours after being booked in Fulton County, Georgia, on charges of conspiring to try to overturn the 2020 election. Louisiana's governor is visiting Beauregard Parish north of Lake Charles today, touring damage from an ongoing wildfire. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A man police say stabbed his sister's boyfriend will stand trial. 20-year-old Yahir De La Pena Rodriguez has been charged with one count of first-degree intentional homicide. The incident happened in the early morning hours of July 16th after the two men left a bar. Authorities say an argument escalated before Rodriguez attacked the 24-year-old man with a knife. He tried to escape police on foot and was tracked down with the help of a canine unit. Rodriguez will be arraigned September 19th. Making of a murderer subject Stephen Avery has been denied a new trial. The decision from the court came down on Tuesday. His attorney, Catherine Zellner, says she will take the decision to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. Earlier this year, Zellner indicated she had evidence to support a claim there was a new suspect in the 2005 murder of Teresa Hallback. Avery claims he was framed for the killing by one of the state's key witnesses.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
So did you like John Lennon's voice better than Paul McCartney's?
No, it was a mix. I think I like McCartney's better usually. Rocky Raccoon and some of the ones.
Yeah. I like John Lennon's, but that's tough. They were both great.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, these songs that we're playing right now, they were listed as some of the greatest songs in the history. of music. And in the top 25 songs ever recorded.
Well, you know, the genius of the Beatles is kind of unbelievable. You look back on it, and like the White Album, they'd come out with these albums, and every one of the songs in the albums would rise to the top of the charts back in the day when charts mattered. And the music itself was innovative. You know, they every one of their albums had a different flavor to it.
Oh yeah,
I mean they were it was really something. And it that whole era was an era of musical genius. I think that's why it's surviving so well.
You know, and part of it. We got a radio show to do. Oh. Welcome back to Earl Ingram's show, but this is part of it. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We got a guy who's been waiting on the line. So, you know, otherwise I want to continue that conversation. And we'll do that again at another time. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We must get money out of politics if we want to restore government truly back to we the people. I just think it's a malpractice to have a debate and or a food fight, not even a debate, and not talk about the American people, not talk about the four things that Sandy always talks about: mortgage, health care, and
daycare,
push these people, daycare, and taxes, which I'm sure they would love to talk about taxes.
You're right, Tom. None of that was even brought up.
No, and I think it's really, really sick that just because the Republicans have their certain issues that they are about, that somehow the media doesn't talk to them about the issues that affect all of us. Now, I know if it was a Democratic debate, they would have touched on those issues and they would have talked about them. But these are human issues. These are not Democratic or Republican issues. So why the hell we have a media that wants to talk about, you know, people's social issues and who is the most testosterone guy up on the stage? This is just really, our media has lost so much, and they have been bought out as well because they, through Citizens United, have been the beneficiaries of all the money that comes in for the ads for the campaigns. That's why anyone want to know why it is you see an ad on TV and you don't stop seeing them when they come on for the whole election cycle? It's because of money and politics. So I would just say to everyone, wake up, everyone. It's all about the money. It's all about money in politics. And yeah, Nikki Haley can say what she said, which is what, honestly, that's what Donald Trump said when he first ran against in the Republican so-called debates years ago, was he'd say, oh, I buy all of you. Oh, I, da, da, da. So they use that as an advantage, but they don't do any policies that actually take money out of politics. The Democratic Party has already said that if they actually get a hold of the Supreme Court, that campaign finance rules will come back into play, that we will get money out of politics. And I'll tell you what, if I actually saw a Republican that truly was interested in getting money out of politics and showed it not only with their words but with their deeds, I would have no problem maybe voting for that person. But I do not see that anywhere. All I see is a food fight, like Sandy said. And you know what? It's really, like I said, it's a disservice to the country. And I just look at that's why I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the debate because I knew it was just going to be a food fight. It isn't going to be, you know, it's all scripted, you know, just like when they did Barack Obama's debates. Those were all scripted. I mean, this is so, you know, crazy to me that all they go for is a TV show and drama.
We got you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, I think Tom's dead on about getting money out of politics, and I think Nikki Haley said the right things. He's right. Let's see what the actions are. I predicted that they wouldn't talk a bit about Tom, Dick, and Mary's budget and the life of Tom, Dick, and Mary and what government could do about that. I was at a social event talking to some people who are undoubtedly conservatives. And when we get to that subject, actually, it gets traction. If you get into and talking about it, how does the median family live? What do they need? Isn't health care something that everyone should be entitled to? It's pretty easy to get to some agreement then about the problem that needs to be addressed. And once you identify the problems and start talking about how to address them, you can get somewhere. But they don't even bring the problem up to be addressed. This debate was all about arm waving about the issues that are basically social issues. I mean, you know, the meatiest issue they get to is what to do about the border on the south. You know,
right.
That's it.
And you know, and maybe a little bit about abortion, but
well, abortion's a social issue, and it's a you know might be an important issue, but it's not an issue that Tom, Dick,
every
and Mary.
Day. No.
So, in fact, to the extent it might be, Tom, Dick, and Mary might have trouble dealing with the two children they have, and maybe the third is just unthinkable.
So Tom, Dick, and Mary weren't listening to that, and they don't listen to that, and there's a reason why, you know, 13 million people watched it, and there's also a reason why a little over 50% of the American people vote, because they don't think that any of that is going to change anything, be they Democrat or Republicans, are going to change their lives at all.
Yeah.
And so, and that number is dropping lower because many young people don't want to hear what any of these things are being said. They know that they have this tremendous debt hanging over their heads is going to impact and affect them for the best earning years of their lives with this student loan debt, Sandy, when they should be moving forward?
Well, I had an unusual, at the end of the debate, I turned it off, and I was in a terrible mood, angry, very angry, and I was unfocused. Someone had asked me, what are you angry about? I couldn't have told them other than just, I don't know, I just.
Right.
But I realize now the reason I was angry is that you watch something like that, and you realize, you get a sense of futility, like, oh my God, these are the people running for president. This is what they talk about. This is what we can expect in the future. Can we possibly identify issues and problems and solve them? No, you know. So it does give rise, I think, to hopelessness, and maybe people who are smart spare themselves the hopelessness by not watching.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. But Sandy, let's move on. Prigozhin.
Yevgeny Prigozhin, yeah.
Was, well, depending on, you know, who's talking, died anyway in a plane crash the other day.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Some say murdered.
Russia is such a complex place.
Well, you've been there.
The politics there are so complex that everyone has talked about how Putin has many doubles. Body doubles who travel in his stead so that he can avoid getting killed. Apparently, Prigozhin, same thing. Body doubles, people travel in his stead. So people are still holding their breath waiting for the DNA evidence that the guy that went down on that plane was actually Yevgeny Prigozhin.
I wonder what they can offer a person to be the double of a guy who...
Yeah,
you know. Eventually,
it's
your
like being
job
someone's
is
taster.
To take, is to take the bullet, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you taste my food first.
Yeah. let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Hey, good morning to you, Cindy. Good to meet you. And you say what?
Well, you know these politicians that have no message, no platform, and you talked about the hopelessness. Do you think that's intentional, just to keep people away from the polls?
Well, you know, it's the outcome. I hate to work backwards from outcomes to always come down to intent. I think the people who are up on the stage, their intention is to try and win the nomination that they're chasing. How they're doing it is what's maybe the process that surrounds them, that gives them the cues about how they need to behave. I think that might be more intentional. The people who are kind of controlling who gets money, who gets backing, who gets attention in the news media. The news media has a lot to do with it because, you know, they what they're willing to cover has much more to do with, I don't know what, the Kardashians than it does with national problems. And so we get that kind of focus by the news media, and so we get that kind of behavior out of people chasing attention. So
let me ask you, Cindy, did you watch it?
No, I'd rather put a fork in my eye.
But and I can tell you're a voter, right?
Put a cork on the fork. Did you, there's a movie, Dirty Rotten Scoundrel, where Steve Martin, I'm worried about.
So why? Why?
Yes,
why?
I am a voter because I am just so sickened and turned off by the Republican Party. I can't even stand to watch the hypocrisy and the basically crap shows that they put out these days. There's no substance to them anymore. And to me, I wouldn't vote for one of them anyway just because of it. So I just have better things to do.
So let me ask you, do the Democrats any more, are they spending the time focusing on the things that impact you and your family more so?
No. Well, they're a little bit better. At least some of them have platforms. But, you know, I'm not real big on the Democrat Party either. I'm one of these people who truly believes it's time for a third party or ranked choice voting or some other option because this ain't working. So I don't spend a lot of time watching the Democrat debates either, to be honest with you. I do my own research, my own homework. I try to meet as many of the candidates in person as I can. So that's what I do to decide who I'm going to vote for.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for calling. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, she's a prime example of what both parties are missing. Just an average person, you know, who is just living life and trying to make sure that, you know, keeps a roof over her head and that can stay a little bit ahead. And there are more of us than there are of the others, and yet we don't seem to count in the mix.
Well, you know, median income. When the median income means that half of the people live at or below the median income. So yeah, we've got most of the people in our country. The vast majority of them are living paycheck to paycheck and having much more difficult times. And the political process isn't focused on them, isn't dealing with them, isn't even talking about them, isn't solving some of the underpinned problems that could solve their life issues, daycare and health care, education costs. But I think that, you know, Cindy's got it, hit it right on the head. You know, the process is the problem. We've got to do something. I think ranked choice voting could go a long way towards changing things. But, of course, the place that is doing it, California, is the place that all the conservatives talk about trying to excise from the United States. I reminded someone who said that a couple of days ago that they are over 30% of the GDP, so good luck with cutting California out of the United States.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of August, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on August 26th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa presents the Golden Days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The Golden Days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 78. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 73. Sunday, under mainly sunny skies, 76. Monday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, let's get the Prigozhin thing, try to get it in before we go to the break. So for those who don't know who Prigozhin was.
Mm-hmm. Evgeny Prigozhin was the guy, well, he was a chef, and then he was a caterer. Then he started catering in Moscow, and first in St. Petersburg, got to know Putin, began to cater Putin. Became one of Putin's favored, and before 2014, he was set up by Putin to set up a mercenary military, which became known as the Wagner Group. The Wagner Group was hired by Putin to basically set up deniability on the part of Russia for an invasion into Crimea. The Wagner Group went into Crimea. There was no battle. Crimea was basically handed to the Russians. But ever since then, the Wagner Group had become a very, very powerful group, mercenary group, carrying out mercenary activities in Africa and also now in the Ukrainian war, and they became a very powerful aspect of the Ukrainian war. Much like our Blackwater, they were ex-military people, paid more than the military, highly trained. And Prigozhin then is the one who, a couple of months ago, led a cortege up to Moscow to complain about how the Wagner Group was being treated by the military and maybe how the Ukrainian war was being waged, and got to within about 150 miles of Moscow, and the head of Belarus brokered a deal which basically caused him to stop and Putin to allow them to all essentially continue to live and move on and do other things. And it looked like Putin was going to allow Prigozhin to continue to exist, although everyone thought that it was altogether likely that just like every other political rival of Putin, he might fall out of a window or otherwise suffer a fate.
So where did he get all the money for the weaponry?
Well, Putin then yesterday gave this sardonic talk, a eulogy for him talking about, but in the context of that, the news media replayed some other things, and some little while ago, Putin brought out the books and demonstrated that the Russian government had funded it to the tune of $1 billion. And so the Wagner Group had been funded for $1 billion from just 1 year. So lots of money funneled to them by the Russian government.
So let me ask you, Sandy, there's been talk in this nation, political talk, about, you know, well, Putin killed this man, and what is the United States going to do? What?
Yeah, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, we have tended not to tinker we even let Khashoggi get, the murder of Khashoggi by the Saudi Arabian crown prince. We allowed it to happen on our own turf and ended up doing nothing about it. But, we don't really dabble in other countries' activities, good or bad that they might be. And what are we going to do? Sanction Russia? I think we've already done that. So I don't quite understand it. It strikes me that it's an overreach for us to think we ought to be reaching into other countries. I think it's perfectly okay to have it in the news media to let us know how other countries might behave, so that we don't get to that point of behaving like that. Because we have there's a guy running for president who talks a bit like that, like he would take care of his enemies in maybe that same way.
You know, Sandy, it we get caught up in that, well, the Democrats didn't do anything about it. Or if it's the other way around, the Republicans didn't do anything about it. It's not Democrat or Republican in this instance, right?
Right.
I mean, we have to stop always looking at things through that lens.
Well, I think we ought to examine, there are folks who I don't agree with on many things who do talk about, however, that we ought to be examining what we do inside our border much more than we are examining and spending enormous sums of money within other people's borders. You know, we should make things right here at home before we decide to cure everyone else's evils.
And Sandy, if we focus on that, can you imagine if we focus on taking care of the issues inside of our border, we could wipe out all these issues and problems we're talking about in no time.
Well, we'd certainly have a shot at it. Right now, we don't have a shot at it. In fact, everything is trending the wrong way, just about. You know, people will talk dramatically about how they've cut down the murder rate in the city from 1 year to the next, and then the next year it goes back up again. So, I mean, we don't have any long-term trends with respect to these social issues we're talking about that look very favorable right now. We ought to be at least pushing ourselves in the direction of creating trends that are favorable.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams, and I got to hear the end of this song.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on ABC the Civic News Media